take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I am worn. Through the dark, through the night,
Yeah. Sir. There ain't no other peace in this world to be found, that's for sure.
No, sir.
None.
That's right.
Oh, sir.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Yeah.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Okay.
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
She wrote her a song, and she asked if she could sing it today.
Amen.
But what's cool is she had no idea what the lesson was going to be on today. But when Kitty gets started on the lesson, you're going to see how her having a song to sing today is perfect, right? All right, boss lady, come right up.
Okay. Pray for me.
Bless her, Lord.
All right, so how many people here, not just the kids, but how many adults, have ever made an avatar for a video game? Nobody?
Rue has.
Oh, you mean like a little person thing?
Yeah, or a little avatar.
Mel has.
I guess I kind of have. I think I kind of have. Like the Wii, the little guys.
Yep.
Okay, so when you did your avatar, what was it that you did? How did you make your avatar?
Well, actually, it was Abby that made it. She just made it look like me as much as she could.
So she made it with dark hair.
Right.
She had glasses on it, like you?
No, I wasn't wearing regular glasses. I wasn't wearing glasses regularly at the time.
Okay, so. What about your beard and your mustache. Did she have one of those?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Did she have a certain outfit maybe on the avatar?
Yeah, kind of. T-shirt, jeans, kind of like I normally look. Yeah.
Did you have any weapons?
No, nothing like it. No, okay. Nothing like it.
No, that's good.
Not a violent fella, no.
Well, did she do anything with your like your eyes? Did she try to make your eyes like yours? Like maybe give them the same color of eyes that you have?
Amen, yes. Okay. Yes, she did.
Okay. Well, in Psalms 139 and 14, it says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, just like Abby created an avatar for Jimmy that looked like him, God created us. God took us and he formed us in his hands. And he took great thought into the color of our eyes, the color of our skin.
Yeah, you made some of us brown.
Yep.
Not rude, me.
He made some of us very, very dark, some of us very, very light.
I can't kid you.
Yeah. We'll look at it later. So God took great thought in us and what he wanted us to look like. Mm-hmm. He said, I want Mel to have black hair. Sweet. I want her to have brown eyes.
Sweet.
I want her to have dark skin, not too dark, but dark skin.
Just like Jesus.
Same way with Gru. Yeah. Same way with Olive. And he even took the thought of who was going to raise us.
Right.
And whose mama's womb he was going to place us in. And the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
The word fearfully means to make afraid.
Yes.
To make a frightened. And the word wonderfully means to be set apart. To be different. And God made each and every one of us in his own image.
Right.
And he made us exactly the way that he wanted us to be.
That's right.
We are perfect in the eyes of
God.
That's
right.
And God, when he started to hold us and form us and make us the way that he wanted us to be, I'm sure he held us in his arms and loved on us, showed us what true love was, showed us what he was like, so that he could get to know us and that we could get to know him.
Yeah.
But he made us for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Every person that was ever born, every baby that was ever born, God created us and made us for a purpose.
That's right.
Not everybody lives for God. Not everybody fulfills the purpose that God has given them.
That's right.
But God has given us, each and every one of us, a purpose. We are supposed to live for God, follow God, love God, serve God, witness to others about God.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, she's wanting to kill that bug. Got me. Okay? But God loves us. And he equipped us. He gave us the right clothing to wear. He told us how to behave, how to act, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do.
Yeah.
That is our spiritual clothing that God gave us.
Amen.
Just like Abby gave Jimmy clothes for his avatar. God gave us weapons to use. And it's all up to us whether or not we're going to wear that clothing, whether or not we're going to use those weapons that he gave us.
That's right.
Because there's a lot of people out there that they don't even think about God.
Right, yeah.
Unless they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Or unless they're sick, about ready to die.
That's true.
But God took special care because he loves us.
Yeah.
Amen.
He wanted us to be the way that he wanted us to be.
Thank you, Lord.
There's so many people out there, and this just came to me, but there's so many people out there that don't like the way they look.
Right.
They're having their nose redone.
Right.
Or they're having things taken off or things added.
Right.
But God made us the way he wanted us to be.
Yes.
He made my eyes, they're a hazel color. At one time I had dark eyebrows. They're kind of gray now. I've always been really light skinned, but that's the way God wanted me.
Right.
I always wanted to be shorter. I always wanted to be real short and real petite, you know, and I wanted blonde hair and blue eyes. But now I am thankful.
Yeah.
I am thankful that I am the way that God created me.
Me too.
I don't want a different color hair.
Good.
I don't want to be shorter. Uh-huh. I don't want to be any fatter either.
Amen. Yes, amen.
But I am the way that God created me. Now, we do have a choice. Wait, we have a choice there. But I am thankful for the way that God took care of me.
Yeah.
The way he loved me.
Yeah.
The way he got to know me.
Yeah.
And I am finally getting to know him.
Yes.
I think that's a life process.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And before, when he created us, when he was forming us and giving our hair color and our eye color, and whether they go up or whether they go down or whether they go straight across, because everybody's different.
Right.
Whether we're dark or whether we're light, whether we have curly hair, whether we have straight hair, whether we have wavy hair or an afro.
Mm-hmm.
God took great care, and he held us in his arms, and he loved on us.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And he got to know us, and we got to know him.
Mm.
And he said, I know who I'm going to give you to.
Right.
Olive, I'm going to give you to Irish and Damon.
Mm.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give Ruth to Irish and Damon.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to give Melanie to Irish and Damon.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because they are the perfect parents for you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That is right. Damon will be telling that over again.
I've already tried.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to me
that
God took so much care in us.
Yes.
And the way that we would look and who we were going to be given to and who was going to raise us.
Yes.
Now, like I said, we were all called for a purpose. But it's up to us again. Once again, it's up to us to choose whether or not we're going to fulfill our purpose.
That's right.
Whether or not we're going to wear that clothing. Whether or not we're going to use the weapons that God had given us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about it.
Tell them about fearfully.
Fearfully.
Who they're going to make afraid, remember?
If we become what God intended us to be, if we are who and what God intended us to be, we are going to make Satan and every fallen angel terrified.
That's right.
Amen.
We are going to scare them to pieces.
That's right.
Amen.
Because that's why we're here. We're to let people know that we serve the living God.
That's right.
Amen.
That he can take care of us when anything, no matter what it is that comes around, he can take care of us.
That's right.
And he ain't got no power unless we give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right.
And we've got to make a stand that we're not going to let the devil have that power.
Amen.
Now, there's going to come a time in your life where somebody will pick on you.
Right.
Well, somebody will make fun of maybe the color of your hair.
Uh-huh.
Or because you've got long hair. They're going to make fun of you because you got long hair.
Mm-hmm.
Or because you're not the color that they wanted you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you're too tall.
Yep.
Or maybe you're too short.
Uh-huh.
Or there's many different things out there that they can make fun of you over. Maybe it's because you don't play a game as good as they do. Maybe it's because you don't cook as good as they do. Maybe it's because you're not as fast as they are.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's because you can't pay as good attention as they do.
Uh-oh.
But it doesn't matter what they say. The only one that it matters who says anything is God.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you can't say.
That's right. That's right.
And you know what? You guys are going to grow older. And you're going to maybe grow apart some. But it doesn't matter how far apart you are from one another. You're bonded together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're family.
Yes.
And a family is to look out for one another.
That's right.
To protect one another.
That's right.
To take care of one another.
Mm-hmm.
To stand up and fight for one another. Just like the church family is.
That's right.
We're a family.
Yep.
We're all knitted together.
Yes,
and
we are.
We all have a purpose.
Yes,
and
we
there
do.
May come a time in our walk that we may go somewhere else. God might want us to go somewhere else. But I'm going to tell you right here and right now, it does not matter where you go, how far away you are.
Come on.
No matter who else you're with or whatever, you are our family.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
We are here for you.
That's right.
Yes.
You can call anytime, day or night. My phone is always on. I never shut it off unless it runs out of time. But we're here.
Amen.
We will always be
That's
here
right.
until we go home to be with Him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Love
glory,
you guys.
Glory, glory, glory.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
I love it.
When you're young and growing up, it feels bad to like be different than everybody else, because you know as soon as you go into the classroom or as soon as you get around them, there's going to be somebody that as soon as they get a chance are going to make fun of you and draw everybody's attention to you and try to get everybody else making fun of you.
Yep.
When I was a baby, just a couple weeks after I was born, this red spot started to grow on my cheek right here.
Yeah.
And pretty soon the whole side of my face started to swell. And the blood vessels that you have inside your face that you can't see because they're on the inside started to come on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, they started giving me plastic surgeries. So by the time I started school, I already had four of them.
Wow.
And by the time I was in fourth grade, I had a scar on my face that went from right here under my eye all the way down across my cheek. So there was one kid in every class I was in that was always going to get picked on for being different, and it was me every single time. Even the other kids that usually got picked on, when they saw that I was getting picked on, they'd be so happy that somebody else is getting picked on. Guess what they do? They start picking on me too.
Oh.
Okay? Now, I know that everybody here knows what it feels like to get picked on because you're different.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you this. When the day comes and those mean people pick on somebody else because they're different, don't you join in with them and do the same thing. You know what you ought to do? You ought to tell those guys that are picking on them, hey, stop that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know as well as I do, when you were getting picked on, you would have gave anything in the world for one friend that would have stuck up for you, for one friend that would have been good to you and nice to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you're young and growing up, you hate being different because somebody's going to pick on you. When you get a little older, and you guys will sooner than you think, the things that are different about you that now you hate, later on you're going to be glad.
Uh-huh.
Like when I was little, I hated the name Arliss.
I hated the name Kitty.
Because nobody had a name like Arliss, and no girl had a name like Kitty. So whenever somebody hear our name, they'd be like, Arliss, what kind of name is that? That's a dead right, and I hated it. Then I got a little bit older, and somebody would say, hey, Mike, and 12 boys would turn around. Which one? I never had that problem. Whenever they called Arliss, I knew who they were talking to. When I got a little older, guess what? I was glad my name was different.
Yes.
Right? The things that make you different now that you don't like, when you get older and they're different, you're going to like being different.
Mm-hmm.
And remember this, you're different because God made you that way. Now, Rue, you can't be mad at God because I'm brown and you ain't. You just have to deal with that, right? You have to deal with that, white girl, and say, I can't help it, right? So, fearfully and wonderfully made. That means this hair right here, God did that on purpose.
Yes, he did. Yep.
So you know what? You know what I think's awesome? I think it's awesome when they let it grow like that, because God gave them beautiful hair to let it grow and let everybody see what God did. I really do like it.
Amen.
I finally got to see Mel's hair down. I said, whoa, Mel, you got some beautiful hair. And she does. And today, she used the real brush, I'd have you know. It was awesome to behold. But, so the difference is you have, they're cool. And don't ever join in with somebody that's bullying somebody else. I'm going to tell you what, God hates, you ready for this? Now, a lot of people think God don't hate anything. That's not true. What?
Huh?
What?
God hates bullies.
Yes.
Yep. And if a bully doesn't stop bullying, they're going to stand in front of a God that hates them for what they do.
Yep.
Now, I know it's popular in today's Christianity to say that God loves the sinner and hates the sin. I've got 35 Bible verses for you where God hates the sinner, too.
Yeah.
So, before you start picking on somebody because they're different, you better remember God made them different. And when you're picking on them, guess who you're making fun of? All right. So now, what's really awesome about this lesson is Moana did not know. Did you know what the lesson was going to be on? She did not know. And yesterday she came. You got your words?
Where is it?
Moana came and she said, Uncle Book, I got a song I want to sing in class tomorrow.
Amen.
And here we are, got a lesson on how God made everybody different and they're wonderfully made. So she's got a song that she wants to sing. Do you have your words? Where are they?
Where is it?
Oh, yep, and she's going to play her tambourine. This is a girl after Stacy's own heart.
Yeah!
Which made me, I know you've been playing guitar a lot, but if you bring that tambourine, I think somebody will bang on
it. We were talking about that.
Yeah, I'll bang on that thing.
All right.
You want me to hold the words for you so you can read them? No, you got it? Okay, but nobody gets to see your face this way. Come over here. And you got to sing good and loud so everybody can hear you, okay? Yeah. You ready? We gotta count three. One, two, three, go.
Fly away, Wendy says. We will be happy there forever. So when we go, we will have fun.
Yeah.
Do it again. Away,
Wendy says,
forever. So when we go there, we
have
fun.
Good job.
Yay! Good
job.
That's awesome. I'm going to get that autographed and keep it.
Yeah.
It'll be worth something. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to pray real quick. The school's out. But school will be starting before you know it. We're going to pray protection on the kids.
Also,
that they'll remember when they go to school that they're exactly the way God intended them to be. And somebody who made fun of them doesn't know the God they know.
And so does everybody else.
That's right. No bullies.
No bullies.
Lord, we thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, for putting everybody exactly where you did. If you hadn't done that, there's a possibility none of us would even know each other. And we're family today. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Lord.
And we pray now, Father, for Mel and Rue and Olive, for when they go back to school, Lord. And we pray that when some jerk somewhere, because there's always one, when they make fun of Ruth for being a white girl, and that she'll remember God made her that way, when they start to pick on them, that they'll feel sorry for the bullies, because those bullies don't know Jesus like they do. And we pray that Mel and Rue and Olive, that they'll never forget what it feels like to be alone and be picked on, and they'll never join in when someone else is being picked on too. Ask you to bless all the children the world over, bless the adults the world over too, and let them know that you made them just the way they are.
Thank
you for this word today in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to take 5-minute intermission. Bathroom, if you're my age, it'll take you the full 5 minutes to get there and back. Once the 5 minutes is over, then the kids are going to be, and Iris is going to need you today as well, are going to be back on the craft table. They have craft to do today. 5 minutes.
Hey, Dad. Are we going on that?
Your nose is in here. You got a big high.
My glasses on, so I can see. Here we go.
One, Psalm 127.
Good.
It was funny, me and Kate were talking. When you're a teacher, I've learned over the years that the daily disciplines, the things that seem to be the most, can get the most mundane, the most boring, the most repetitive, almost like they're a ritual, are the very things that will give you the greatest confidence later on in life. What I mean by that is, like daily reading, daily prayer. The reason that's important for like being a teacher is because there are times where, you know, church is over, Sunday we have our service, Monday morning we read, Tuesday morning we read, Wednesday we read, Thursday we read, Friday we read, Saturday we read, and we do it because that's what we do. Well, all week long, there are some times where God doesn't take anything that you read and go, here, teach this.
Right. Yeah.
There are some weeks where God doesn't take a scripture that you've read and just go, boom. Right? So you get to the end of the week and you're like, okay, Lord, I got a class teach Sunday. I mean, I got a whole book here. We can just, you know, open it up and pick a spot and it's going to be good. But, you know, kind of like the little input, right? Well, there's times where God doesn't give you any. And then it'll be like Saturday when I was young in the ministry, when I pastored up north in Harvard. Saturdays were off limits for anybody to contact me unless they were dead and schedule a funeral. And the reason that was is because I would spend all day Saturday, because Monday through Friday, I spent my whole time running. When you got 50, 60 brand new babies in the Lord, they're all spitting up, they're all pulling whatnots down, it's chaos. But on Saturday, it's like, I'm not doing none of that today. Don't anybody have any family emergencies on Saturdays? Because I'm not coming. I've been in your house 3 times this week. You're going to have to get by one day without me. Because Saturday, I would spend all day in this book getting something for Sunday. As I've gotten older, it doesn't work that way anymore. When it comes Saturday and I've done all my study, I've done all my fasting, I've done all my prayer, right? And God hasn't made anything stand out. Saturday night comes, I go to bed. I don't sit up like, oh, yeah. No, I don't even worry about it. And Kitty all week long, you know, she wasn't getting anything from a reading. And I told her, I says, well, look, here's what we do sometimes. Sometimes, especially with kids today, instead of God giving us a lesson, you can just stop and say, what do you think kids in today's society would be a good thing to teach them? Right? And then you put that lesson together, and then you find a scripture that goes with the lesson. You don't always get the scripture and then make a lesson from the scripture. Sometimes, you know, God knows we're aware of what's going on in society. We know each other. So like for the adult class, if God doesn't give me something, there's times where I'll be like, well, you know, what would be a good thing to teach adults in the society we live in? And then I'll put the lesson together and then find the scripture. Because there's nothing you can't find in this book right here, right? Now, what's cool is there are times, too, where I think God just tests me. And so I went to bed last night. And, you know, didn't have anything specific, nothing, had bells or alarms that went off during the reading this week. And in the middle of the night, probably about 2:30 in the morning, I barely woke up just enough to have these words come in my head. And the words were, except the Lord build the house. And I was awake just enough for that to sink in. I was like, oh, sweet. I got up this morning. Found the scripture, like, thank you very much, God. And, you know, we were supposed to have been starting a series on the family already. But things have happened, like what's going on with Lori these last couple times. It's good that they've happened the way they have, because we all need to be here for these. Because we're going to cover God's expectations in marriage, God's expectations of raising children, how to deal with the current society we live in. So it's going to be important that everybody's here. Having said that, God gave me this early this morning, so I guess this is the start of it, okay? Psalm 127, and what we're going to talk about today is, except the Lord build the house. So, first off, we have except. And what that means is, whenever that word's in a sentence, it means this, whatever comes after it, is the only thing that can be, right? So except the Lord. That means there is no other option. That word except really means only.
Right.
You see? It means only. only the Lord builds the house. Now, what's cool too is it says, except the Lord build the house. Not a house, not somebody's house, the house.
Right.
And when you read this book and you read the verse, it says, except the Lord build the house, he's talking to you about your house. He's not talking to you about somebody else's house. It don't say except the Lord build their house.
Right.
It says except the Lord build the house, and the house for each of us is our house first. See, look at this. Here's the proper order of things, and don't ever let anybody ever tell you any different. God first, family second, the church third. Uh-oh. Well, I'm going to get fired from the preacher's club. Won't be able to go golfing no more on Saturdays.
Right.
The Lord first, your family second, the church third. What that means is you got a fire in the middle of your home with your family. That fire's got to be taken care of.
Yes, yes.
You don't pretend there ain't a fire and then go to the church service on Thursday, because every time the door is open, you better be there, bless God. No, sometimes you got to deal with things in your family first, right? The church as a group is not more important in your life than your family is first.
Right.
But you got to make sure God is first before
Amen.
Your family.
Yes.
Because if you put your family before God, you'll make a decision that is not in line with God someday, and your family will suffer for it. Now hear this. If you put God first before your family, there will be times where your family will suffer for it. What I mean by that is if you put God before your family, you're going to teach your family to fast. Fasting is suffering, and if it ain't counting.
Right.
So if you get to the end of your fast day and it ain't hurt you all day, you need to go a little bit longer because you didn't do nothing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Amen.
I know that's fun to hear, but it's true anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put God first and family second, there are things you're going to do as a family to follow after God that are going to cost you. It's going to cost the family to suffer. There just is. There's me, and I don't mean it in a negative way, but it is a Christian's duty to learn to suffer. Christian means Christ-like. How can we even open our mouth and say we're anything like Jesus if we're not willing to suffer a little? Good grief, man. He suffered the highest suffering possible to man. And he did it for you and me.
Amen.
Except the Lord built the house. They labor in vain to build it. That means you can build it on your own if you want to. And you can build it the way you think is right. And it can look like you think it should look. It can feel like you think it should feel. But there's going to come a day somewhere down the road where you're going to find out, because you built it your way instead of God's way, or I built it my way instead of God's way, where there's going to be something that's going to come against my family, against my house, that only building it God's way will cause it to stand. But because I built it my way, and that thing that has no power more powerful than it but God comes against my house, because I built it my way, man's way, my house will not stand.
Right.
And building a family God's way is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will be many times where your children will not like you.
Right.
There will be many times where you will have expectations for them that they're not going to like and they're not going to agree with. And every parent, multiple times over the time their children are growing up, will be forced to choose, am I going to be their friend today? Or am I going to be their parent today?
That's right.
And there will be many times where the devil will whisper in your ear and tell you, if you don't back off on this one, they're never going to be your friend again. And that's when you got to stand up and say, if I back off on this one, they may never be with God when their life here is over.
That's right.
Amen.
I have a grown son right now that is not living for God. He don't come around. He don't reach out hardly ever. And all that is because I stand for the same thing today I stood for when he was growing up. And when he was growing up, we made decisions that we could find in that book. And many of those decisions we made, they didn't make things awesome right then. But what they did was they put things in my son that even if it's after I'm dead, are going to be there when he needs them. And he will draw from them and be able to stand when no one else is standing if he makes the right decision.
And it don't matter to me. I would much rather he came to his senses and served God now while I get to enjoy that too. But if he don't, the only thing that's going to matter one day is that he does make the right decision, even if it's after I'm gone, because we can catch up later. We'll have eternity to get caught up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do right by your children and your spouse according to that book. And there are going to be many times if you do things the way the book wants you to, where your spouse and your children, you will not be very popular right then.
Right. Yeah.
And there will be some decisions some people in our house can make where they're going to treat us a little bit like this for the rest of our life because of where we stood. But it's in those times where you have a right to say, God, I wish things weren't the way that they were. But when I look back, God, I wouldn't change what I did then because I put something in them that's going to be there when they need it. And if they never get close to me again, if we're never pals again, if they never give me that look again, right? Like, I've had the awesome experience yesterday and last night to have Mighty Mel and Moana with us. And they spent the night at our house. And Jimmy and Nathan, I want to give you a heads up. I have learned what the highest compliment that Mel could ever pay you is. If Mel ever says to you, even Dad would have said that. Dad would have said that. If she ever says that, dude, that is 5 stars. You hit a home run. And the first time she did it, I thought, so that just means everything else I told you till now just didn't make no sense, huh? Okay, all right. But a little bit later, you know, because I like to pick and tease at her a little bit, and she likes it too, and I can tell because she acts like she hates it, but I know already. And so I'll pick at her a little bit, and she'll say, that's not logical at all. No, that doesn't make any sense. It don't work that way, right? But then a little bit later, I'll say something, and she goes, Dad would have said the same thing.
That's right.
And what Mel was saying out of her own mouth is, I know that's right because my daddy said it.
Right, amen.
You follow me?
Yeah, yeah, buddy.
So see, there's going to come a day though, Mel's going to get older in them teens or maybe in her young adult life because this is a path of life no one can escape where there's going to be something her daddy says is right. But this time it's not going to sit well because daddy's going to say something that's right that's trying to slow her down from heading in the wrong direction or acquiring habits that would be bad for her later in life, right? And there's going to be a time where she'll be like, Dad said the same thing. Right?
Yeah.
But what he's doing is he's sowing good things in her that later on when she's a woman and got kids or grandkids of her own and we're all out of here, she's going to tell one of her grandkids, I know that's right because my daddy said the same thing.
Yeah.
Right,
exactly. Yeah.
And that's why we got to make sure that things we're sowing are the way God would have us to sow it. That's what it means, except the Lord build the house. God does a lot of work in our families.
Yeah.
But he can't bless a harvest we don't sow.
Right.
There is a law of the harvest that no one can escape, saint or sinner. Whatsoever a person shall sow, the same
shall
he reap. So if you find principles in here on how to instruct your children or how to build your marriage or your parents or your siblings or whatever it is, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of awesome stuff in there about blessing older siblings, Damon. I'm just saying, I got some references I'll send you if you need me to. But anyway, if you run across any of that stuff, right, and you start to apply it to your life because you found it in here, that tells God, God, I've done my part. Now you're free to do whatever you want to do with this, right? Because when you do something in your marriage, Jimmy, that is in this book, and you start to apply it in your marriage, what you're really doing is you're saying, okay, I got this. Now, God, here. And then God says, okay, here. You see?
Right.
And then it comes to raising children, like the way you raise your girls. And you find it in the book, and you say, okay, I got this. Okay, God, here. And what you're doing is you're giving God your children, right?
Oh.
And you're saying, here, God, here's my children. And God then is taking all the things he said you would do if you would build your house in the book on the Lord. And God's saying, okay, Damon, here. And he's putting things in your marriage and in the lives of your children that he can only put there because you're doing it by the book. That's how the Lord builds your house. People that don't apply any of these principles in the Word of God to their family, God don't build their house. And that's exactly who he's talking about in the second part of this verse when he says, they labor in vain to build it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to work all the time. They're sending their kids to school. They're putting food in their bellies. They're paying all the utilities. Well, some of them are, right? And they're doing all the things they know to do, but they're doing it on their own. So they're building something that sooner or later ain't going to stand when they need it to stand the most.
Right, yeah.
They labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord, here we go, only the Lord, again, except the Lord keep the city. Now, here we go, preacher. The watchman waketh in vain. So what that means is,
On the city walls, they're wide enough, a lot of them were wide enough to have chariot races up there, right? That's how big the walls in Jericho were. They had chariot races up there. A lot of the watchmen then would build their homes on top of that wall. We're talking about a monster wall, right? Like little cities on the wall up there. So these watchmen would have different watches in the night. You'll see many times in Scripture where it talks about waking up the watches of the night. They would have certain times they'd be called on to get up and walk that wall and look out on the horizon to see if there's any danger headed for the city, right? Well, this book says if they're doing it on their own, they're just watching in vain. They ain't gonna be able to do nothing. They can tell somebody enemy's coming, but that's all they got. They can only rely on the strength of the army that they can see with their eyes. The men that they can see and the soldiers' gear, right? But if we build in God, then the watchman doesn't just have the strength of the men and the army behind him. He's got the strength of the host of heaven behind him. Because God is watching. How does God keep a city? The same way he keeps a family. If a city makes up its mind, we're going to do things God's way. We're going to balance the budget because God wants us to be good stewards. We're going to take care of children because God wants us to take care of children. And when the city does that, God watches the city. It's vain for you to rise up early.
It's okay. I like it like that.
Now, if you take that at face value, you'd be like, oh, no, it ain't. I get a lot done that first couple hours. It was just me, Jesus, chickens, and ducks.
That's right. That's right.
I like them early morning hours. I get my quiet study time in. I get my cup of coffee. God can talk to me. I'm not clouded with what I'm doing in the day. But that isn't talking about everybody. It's vain for you to rise up early to sit up late if you do these things. Eat the bread of sorrow. You know what that means is, like, we're going to have some awesome food today. Dinner on the ground. Yeah, I did it once. It keeps popping for some reason.
Well, we may not be able to do the crack, and that may be cold. So.
Well, try another outlet. That cord will reach. Bring it right down here if you would.
I want to get down Melody's
bed. Yeah, it'll reach that far. Okay, so what he's saying is, here I am talking about having good food. I'm eating it cold. I'm telling you right now. We're going to have some good food today, right? But you can get to a place in your life. How many knows there's been time in your life where you had so much stress going on in your life that you ate your supper, but you couldn't have told anybody the next day what you had for supper? You ate your meal, and you didn't really enjoy the meal. You were just eating because you knew you needed to.
Right.
One of the most common statements to say somebody who's deep in grief or depression is you tell them, like, you need to eat something, man. You got to take care of yourself. And the reason you got to tell them that is because there's something so stressful going on in their life that they're not thinking about that food. They're not enjoying the food when they eat it, right? Because something has consumed them. A worry, a grief has consumed them. And that's exactly what it's talking about when it says if you sit up late, get up early, and you eat the bread of sorrows. This is a person that's stressed out. The reason they're staying up late is because they're tossing and turning on the bed. They can't go to sleep. They got no peace. The reason they're getting up early in the morning is because when they did sleep, they didn't sleep good. I know I'm not the only one that ever woke up the next morning and you were more tired than you were the night before when you went to bed. Now, there's a certain part of old age where that's the way it is for some seasons, right? But it shouldn't be that way because we're so stressed out, where we're so worried about something like God can't handle it. And this is who God is talking about right here. It's vain. In other words, what good is it going to do you to get up early in the morning if you can't do nothing about the problem anyway?
Right.
And what good is it for you to stay up late at night worried about the next day if you can't do nothing about it anyway? This is kind of like what I was talking about when you've been teaching for a long time and you don't get the lesson all week, but you know you've done everything you're supposed to do the days behind you. I prayed, I read yesterday, I prayed, I read the day before that, I prayed, I read the day before that, so I know I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Now it's up to God. There's nothing more I can do about it. I'm not staying up on Saturday night freaking out over this.
is. The rest is God's. I've done everything I know to do. That's exactly what he's talking about here, is that if you live your life and do your daily disciplines, daily disciplines, right? We don't just fast when somebody gets cancer. We fast once a week because I wouldn't be able to tell any devil anywhere, get out of anybody's house. I need to tell them to get out of their house, right?
Right.
So we do our daily disciplines. We pray, we study, and we fast once a week. So what does that mean? That means when there's a problem that comes my way that's bigger than me, and I know I can't do nothing about it, then on that night, instead of staying up all night all stressed out, I can say, I prayed yesterday, I studied yesterday, I fasted last Wednesday, I prayed that day, I studied that day, and you look behind you and you see a consecutive series of days where you did everything you should have done. So now on this night, when you got this big problem coming your way, why am I going to stay up all night? I can't do nothing about this, but I serve daily the one who can.
Right.
So, you know what? There's an old saying, and I love it. He's going to be up all night anyway. I'm going to bed.
Right.
I'm going to let him worry about it tonight.
Right.
And I got a feeling he ain't worried about it like I am.
Right, exactly. That's right.
I'm reminded of a phone call I got one day about a tax bill that was due, and it was a stupid Howard Hughes amount of tax bill. Was it like $7,000, Stacey?
Yes, sir.
Got a call. She's self-employed. She gives me a call like, hey, I got a tax bill for $7,000. Well, my grandkids are going to jail. We're all going to jail.
Right.
There was panic, and I got the panic. I was like, yeah, that freaked me out a little bit too. And I don't remember what I said to her, but it was something along the lines like, hey, look, you're a tither. You're a tither. You don't just wait till a big check to tithe. You know what I've learned about people who say they're going to tithe when they get this big amount of money? No, they ain't. You can't tithe off a dollar. You ain't tithing off $1,000. I've been in this thing too long. And I just told her, you're a tither. You've done all your disciplines. God will take care of you. I got off the phone and I said, well, we're on the hook for that one, God.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's true, but now it's up to you.
Right.
What was the next day?
Next day.
What happened the next day?
I got up the next morning, and there had been some kind of, I don't know if it was that, I don't know what was going on, but they had, were giving people money, and so there was $6,400 in my account. Just overnight.
Next morning, got a direct deposit from heaven.
Right, right.
$6,400. I guess he charged us $600 for the panic and the phone call.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
But you know what I do remember? Now, the tax bill was $7,000. The deposit was $6,400, so that wasn't enough to cover $7,000.
Right.
But I do remember a tithe off the $6,400. Wait, that don't make no sense. Now, $6,400 wasn't enough to pay $7,000 already. You mean you took even more off? Yes, he did. Because God's math don't work like a Common Core.
Right.
Right, exactly.
God's got his own multiplication system.
Yeah.
And what he does is he starts with one person and says, I'm going to build my house the way you want me to. And God says, I can multiply it.
Yes.
So it's vain to get up early and sit up late because you're worried. And when you eat, enjoy your food. It's vain to eat the bread of sorrow. Man, enjoy your food. Look at this. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Didn't say he don't give his beloved stress. Didn't say he doesn't allow hard times to come to his beloved. No, it didn't say none of that. What it said was he gives his beloved that has the stress or has the hard time rest. Thank you, Jimmy. Children are heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Okay, Nathan. Now look. We already know you're gifted. But here's one more for you. Now you can remind your mama this one. Ready? This verse right here, Nathan, says the fruit of the womb is God's reward. So what that means was, your God loved your mama so much, he wanted to reward her, and he says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give her Nathan. The fruit of the womb. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. You going to help do farm chores again? We're very informal in our Bible study. children are a heritage of the Lord. Heritage of the Lord. A heritage not from the Lord. Not from. I hear that all the time. Children are a heritage from the Lord. No, they're from the Lord, but that's not what the Bible says. It says that children are a heritage of
the Lord.
The Lord.
Yes.
That's a big difference.
Uh-huh.
From and of are two different things.
Yeah, buddy.
God can give something that's from Him. Like the ability to persecute Job was from God.
Uh-huh.
Right? He gave the devil permission to persecute Job. That was from God. But that persecution was not of God.
Right.
God didn't do it. And the first thing when that house blew down with all those kids in, first thing that servant said, the wind of God came and blew the house down and killed all your kids. Wrong. God didn't blow. God didn't do that wind. It says specifically that's the devil that did that, right?
Yeah.
So there's a difference between something being from God and being of God. Children are a heritage of the Lord. That means there's God in them somewhere if you will look.
Yes.
And what Kitty was talking about today, she forgot to say this. Kids, babies are the most pure thing you will ever encounter in this world. That's why people go gaga over them. Tattooed prison ex-convicts just get stupid around.
Right.
And they look around like somebody's going to make fun of them, and you got three goons bigger than you are doing the same thing. You lose your mind around a pure, innocent baby.
Yep.
And the reason you do that is because they have come from the pure presence of God Almighty.
Uh-huh.
And God even was in the womb with them because it says, I knit you together in your mother's womb. So that means the hand of God is in that mama's belly, and it does the eyes just the way, and the face just the way, and the shape of the head. He blesses some more than others. Me and Spud, we got blessed in that cranium area. We sure did. But that means we got bigger brains, don't it, Nathan? Right? So the hand of God. These children have God in them. And we as adults, think about this. We leave the pure, raw presence of God. We're in our mother's belly, and God's hand's in there forming us. It's not biology. It's not science. It's the hand of God. He says so. And He's doing all that work. And then the first time we're not in the raw, pure presence of God is when we come out of our mother's womb, and we get a rude awakening to the world we're now in, because the first thing that happens is we get a good smack. Splat! And we spend all the rest of our life trying to get back to that pure, raw presence.
Right.
Of death
in
this
world.
All of it, the rest of your life. And look what God does. God births us into this world. Think about it, like when your children are grown and they have to step out in the world. You've done everything you know to prepare them. You put everything in them you know they need to be successful and to thrive and to do good. But then you have to put them in the world and you have to let go.
Yes.
And God has them up there first, and He knows them. And then He puts them in their mama's womb and He forms them. And then He does this. Well, that first contraction's coming in. That's God trying to let go. And then the baby enters in this world, and God pulls His hand back now, and He says, okay, I'm letting go of this child, but here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm letting go of this baby, but I'm going to trust you to get her back to me.
Whew.
No, that's all it.
No.
It's up,
right?
It's a
pom-pom.
It's
my tongue.
It's a
cheerleader.
Now.
So look at this. Kids are to be aimed.
So what did you do yesterday, Olive?
They are to be given direction. Look at this. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. Not a flake. Not a weekend warrior. I've got lucky a few times. So far, every time I've shot at a deer, I've hit it and took it down, and we have ate well. But I am by no means a Travis Russell with a bow. Travis Russell is a mighty man in the woods.
Yeah.
I'm the guy following behind him saying, when do I shoot? When do I shoot? Huh, Dad? Can I shoot? Can I shoot?
Right. That's right.
Right? He is the tour guide and the mighty man in the woods. I benefit from his skill and his mightiness. You follow me?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This says, like arrows in the hand of a mighty man are children of the youth. Who's youth? Not the children's youth, the parents' youth.
Yeah.
Why would it point that out? Well, first of all, arrows in the hand of a mighty man are going to hit what they're aimed at. Arrows in the hand of a mighty man are in skilled hands that will use that arrow for what it was intended to use, and there will be a harvest. We're going to get something out of the arrow in the hand of a mighty man. God expects to get something from the children that he has placed in the hands of the parents. But they have to be aimed like the arrow in the hand of a mighty man. A parent has got to realize, I've got this arrow in my hand, and I know how to use this arrow, but I get this skill and this purpose from God himself.
Yes.
This child might not do what I would prefer it to do in this life, but if I can figure out what God wants it to do in this life and train it to do that, I have succeeded in my purpose that God gave me this child for. God rewarded me with a child of purpose. He rewarded me because he thought I could help this child find its purpose. That's how he rewarded me. He rewarded me because he trusted me to pursue the purpose of my child's life. Mm-hmm. And then to aim that child in that direction. It is not up for debate with that child. The child might not even always get a vote because God did not trust the child to itself. The God trusted the child to me to aim.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whew, I feel the Holy Ghost. Yeah, happy is the man that have his quiver full of them. It's a lot of onions.
That's right.
They shall not be ashamed. Who? The kids. The kids shall not be ashamed. Why? These kids shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Huh. If we train our children to know God and serve God and to find their purpose in God, and we teach them to do the daily disciplines of a walk with God, then we're going to have the kind of children that are aimed and trained and equipped, and they won't be a problem in our lives when they are adults. Let that one filter in your system a minute. In the society we live in, adult children are problems. 40 years old and still borrowing money from mom and dad every couple weeks. That ain't right. It's mom and dad. Didn't do the right thing when the kid was growing up, and now ain't doing the right thing either. Like, look, dude, you could use to miss a few meals anyway. You have to learn to take care of yourself. You're a grown man. One day I'm going to be dead. If I die and you can't even feed yourself, I failed you, and I failed God, and that ain't going to happen. Now, you might be mad at me, not talk to me anymore, because I won't give you a free paycheck every other week, but it's over. Learn to take care of yourself. Children that are aimed and trained will speak with the enemies in the gate. You know what that means? That means the enemies don't get up in the house.
Right, right.
That means these girls right over there getting trained to be warriors. One day, David, when the devil comes knocking on your house, on your door, right? Big bad wolf, let me in. I'm going to blow your door down, right? Guess what? Dad ain't even going to have to get off the recliner.
Right, baby, right. Don't let him in. Right.
Rude.
Yeah. Right, out. Oh,
yeah. Child is trained, raised right. Mighty girl, mighty woman in God. Get up off the chair, walk through the doors, and out the day, devil. I fasted yesterday in Jesus' name. Get away from here. Yeah. Yeah. Come right back in. Dad ain't even looked up from under the cat video or whatever it is he's watching, right?
Right, right.
Yummy.
That's what it means right there.
Yeah.
Look, like when we go, we did work at Wendy's house.
Yes.
And some of that work is like, we got two gray beards here. We got a beard here. No gray.
Right.
After about an hour out in the sun, the gray beard's going in the shade.
Right.
The beard's going to be out in the sun.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
God's got the same thing intended for our spiritual house. There comes a day when the elders, the parents, have trained the children right, and it don't mean we don't do the disciplines anymore. We do. We are the example, and we hold the fort down. We're passing the heritage on to our kids, but it means we have raised kids now that can do some of the heavy lifting. We don't have to do it all. You come to mess with my house today, you're going to have to get through some kids to get in the living room.
Yeah.
Kind of kids like this that are raised in the hand of a mighty man and a mighty woman and aimed. parents that have pursued the will and purpose of God for their children and will not back down or compromise, these children will speak with the enemy in the gate. They won't be the problem. They will help solve the problem. But the only way that happens is if the Lord builds the house. And the only way the Lord builds a house, you can say, I love Jesus all you want to. Turn Christian music on YouTube, full blast all day. But the only way the Lord builds a house is if you examine every part of your family life, you find in the scripture, and you just keep adding brick by brick by brick.
All right. Now I can whip you with this,
Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father, for houses today.
Yes, Lord.
That are being built in you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for parents today that recognize that they have been trusted, that you have handed your children over to them to be their children for a short time, but they're your children for eternity. I thank you, Father, for parents that have made up their mind they're going to pursue the will and purpose that you have for their children and point them in that direction with no compromise. I ask you today, Father, as time goes on in the society we live in and the way we build our families stands out more and more and draws ridicule, hatred, mockery, that in that time, Father, there will be no half-step and we will stand and we will stand firm.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, for our children, both grown and still growing. I ask you, Lord, to help each of us, Father, to be a blessing in their lives.
Yes.
For, Lord, it's not just in our own individual families, but in this church family.
Yes.
There's going to be a day, Father, where there's going to be some youngins that probably do most of the worship leading.
Yes, Lord.
There's going to be some youngins that probably do most of the teaching and the preaching.
Mm.
And, Lord, when that day comes, we are going to need them to be the warriors. They need us to be today.
Yes.
So I thank you for a Sunday school, two teachers that are real about this.
Yes,
that love these kids,
yes,
Father.
Thank you
for them. Ask you, Lord, to help Kitty and Iris, to bless them, strengthen them, encourage them. Lord, give them everything they need to put everything that needs to be in the children in them, Father. And Lord, I thank you for the adult class. I ask you, Lord God, to help me, Father, to keep my eyes and ears open, to hear from you and share whatever you give me the way you give it to me. I ask you to bless these parents today, strengthen them, encourage them. When the day comes, and it is a stressful time, and the children, whether grown or still growing, are resistant to the direction that the parents are aiming them in, that the parents would stand their ground, knowing that it's not about them anymore, knowing there's going to be a day where life is going to test their children, a day after the parents are gone, and the children are going to need to be able to draw from something way down inside.
Yes,
so I ask you to bless these parents today, encourage them in the Holy Ghost. Visit Lori and Travis today, Father God. Speak their names, bless them, encourage them today. I ask you to keep your hand upon all your people this week till we come together again. Everybody said in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. I believe it's food time.
Amen.